You know, not too long ago, I overheard a conversation about what people wear to church these days. And as most people can tell, I'm kind of a, you know, suit and tie, kind of a Sunday morning guy, you know. And I know that there are others like that too. Anyway, this fellow I overheard was talking about clothing, and he was somewhat disappointed to see church attire becoming more and more casual. And I think the something he said was something like, I always was taught that you should dress like you're going to meet the king. So that means you should wear the best you have. Now, with that 100%, I got to thinking about stuff. You know, if I pray at night in my jammies, aren't I going to meet the same king that, you know, when I was wearing my suit? Shouldn't I wear the best I have all the time? Well, you know, that kind of made sense, but in a lot of ways it didn't make sense. I mean, I'm not going to go to sleep in my tie, you know. So where does a Christian look for answers? Well, of course, the Bible. And as I began to look at certain passages about clothing, Galatians 3 was the first that came to mind. And Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says this. It says, "You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." We've clothed ourselves with Christ. Now, the Greek word for clothed here is enduo. I kind of like that. Kind of sounds like endure, enduo. And it's translated in other places, like in the King James, as put on. But the meaning of the word carries with it the idea of the sense of sinking into a garment. Kind of like someone, you know, if they got one of those nice big warm sweaters and they get all comfy cozy in that sweater and it's just so big and so warm and you have it all, you know, you're all cuddled into it and it completely covers us. So if someone were to take a look over at us, say, "Hey, you know, what's that big old lump of fur?" Now they see that sweater, you see that? Because that's all they would see is the sweater because you're all sunk down inside that sweater. Well, that's the same idea that we see here in Galatians 3, 26 and 27. You see, when we are baptized into Christ, when we were, you know, immersed into Christ, then Christ covers us. You know, we have put on Christ. We have been clothed with Christ. We have clothed ourselves with Christ. So the idea is that as Christians, all people really should see when they look at us then is Christ. You know? Now this doesn't mean that, you know, we shouldn't wear our best clothing when we worship together. We do that simply out of respect and honor for God and His church. And so, you know, what we wear is something that we each have to examine carefully. But we're really not going to talk about what kind of clothes are appropriate for the Lord's church today. And I hope you're happy about that. But in a way, we are going to talk about what kind of clothes we wear as the church today. You see, Galatians 3, 26 and 27 isn't so concerned about our physical clothing as much as it's concerned about our spiritual clothing. And while this text is directly connecting being clothed with Christ with baptism, the clothing that we put on as Christians is not just the garment of salvation. It's a garment that we are to proudly wear for others to see, and they are to see Christ in our lives. And we can see that clearly from the main text that we're going to look at this morning over in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, in verses 12 through 14, we read this. Bible says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves." Now, we're already clothed as a Christian, right? But he says, "Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." You see, as Christians, we are again clothed with Christ. But like anyone who might want to, I don't know, straighten their tie or maybe their necklace, you know, being a lady, you know, or adjust some other item of clothing, you know, when you get dressed, you know. It's a good idea for us to know what wearing Christ looks like, you know. So that way, you know, if we have to, we can go ahead and fix up our clothing some so that Christ looks the best on us. And not just in worship, of course, but whenever and wherever we go. So let's talk some today about putting on our Sunday clothes, or more to the point, just what does it look like to clothe ourselves with Christ? What does it look like to have Jesus on? So the first element that the Bible tells us to clothe ourselves with is compassion. Compassion. And since we're clothing ourselves with these items, let's go ahead and assign an article of clothing to these things. So let's assign compassion the collar of compassion. How's that? The collar of compassion. So what is compassion? Well, if we were to look in a dictionary, compassion tells us, the dictionary says that compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for one another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate that suffering. Sounds pretty good. You know, it's a pretty good definition. But again, the Bible is our source of information and encouragement. So if we were to look to the Bible, we'd see that God is a God who is full of compassion. For example, I'm just picking Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. As the Lord passed in front of Moses, he said this of himself. He said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. God is compassionate, you see, and gracious. You know, he's compassionate. And not only is God compassionate, but he calls upon us to be compassionate too. And going way back and looking at Deuteronomy 15, verse 11, God tells us, I command you to be open-handed. And that's compassion, to open your hands, to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy in the land. And of course, if we really want to see what compassion is like, since again we're putting on Christ, well, the best place to look in our Bible, of course, is to Jesus. You see, compassion is Jesus healing the paralytic lying on a mat in Matthew 9, 1 and 2. And Jesus is compassion eating with tax collectors and sinners in Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. And compassion is Jesus healing the woman who touched his cloak for healing in Matthew 9, 20 through 22. And compassion is Jesus raising a dead girl back to life in Matthew 9, 23 through 26. And compassion is Jesus healing the blind in Matthew 9, 27, 31, and the mute. And on it goes. And that's because compassion is the attitude of Jesus all throughout his ministry while he was on this earth. Matthew 9, 36. He was compassionate, you see. See, compassion is all of these things. Compassion sees the need, and it seeks to alleviate that pain and suffering that surrounds that need. And compassion is the attitude of the heart that seeks the best for those around them. And compassion is that part of Christ that hangs around our necks and reminds us of what our attitude should be. You see, if we're going to put on our Sunday clothes, if we're going to put on our Sunday best, if we are going to wear Jesus proudly and properly, then like Christ, we must put on compassion. Compassion for one another in the Lord, and compassion for the lost, both next door and abroad. And as the generous contribution I know that we've offered today will testify, we do have compassion for the lost. So, we are to put on the collar of compassion. Next, we are to clothe ourselves with kindness. Clothe ourselves with kindness. And in keeping with our garment theme, we'll call that the cuff of kindness. The cuff of kindness. And while it's true that kindness and compassion often go hand in hand, that's not always the case. You see, the reason we want to call this the cuff of kindness is because kindness is love in action. Just like we talked about a few weeks ago on Sunday night from James 1:26, where James says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Think about it. What if Christ were to have come to earth and just said to people, well, you know, I love you, and then he disappeared. That's it, you know. what good is that? You know, but instead, 1 John 3:16 tells us that this is how we know what love is, that Jesus laid down his life for us. You see, that's love. Just think about the last time we did something for someone. I think about the holiday baskets this past year. Really good. Really, our hands out there doing good things. You know, and that will almost always be described of as kind. People see us being compassionate and kind will know that the love of God is in us. They will see not us, but our clothing. They will see the clothing that is Jesus Christ that we've put on. And this is what Jesus had in mind, I believe, when he said in John 13, 34 and 35, that we are to love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, Jesus says, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Think about it. Just what good is it to have a heart for people and being concerned for them and have a loving heart and all, but we never do anything about it? It simply comes to nothing. That's it, you know. But God loves us. So because God loves us, we love one another. And one of the primary ways that we show God's love is with kindness. Kindness is love in action. Kindness is that part of Christ that directs our hands and reminds us what our love and our heart should do. So we've got our collars of compassion and our cuffs of kindness. We are also to clothe ourselves with humility, the text says. And we'll call that the hem of humility. How's that? The hem of humility. That's because the hem is the part of our clothes that's, well, you know, it's at the ends and surrounds the parts of our garment. And that means that if a hem is beginning to get all frayed and frazzled, then, you know, the clothing tends to look kind of bad. And that's also true with humility. Humility should surround us in every aspect of our clothes. And whenever our humility becomes frayed, you know, we better tend to it, because that's when we start to look bad, you know. So what is humility? Well, one way to think about humility is recognizing our own weaknesses. In other words, we don't think about how great we are, you know. We don't think about how great we are. By the way, do you know who's described in the Bible as the most humble man on the face of the earth? It's Moses. Numbers 12, verse 3. Says it's Moses. And as we look at the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, it becomes clear to us that Moses recognized his weaknesses very quickly as he tried to lead millions of people through the desert and wilderness up to the promised land. I probably would have quit myself. I knew he felt like it sometimes, but God was with him. It's because he recognized his humility. And again, in clothing ourselves with Christ, we are to clothe ourselves with his humility, with Christ's humility. And while it's true that Numbers 12:3 does tell us that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth, that was before Jesus came down to earth. Think about it. Here's the Son of God, God in the flesh, John 1:14, and yet Jesus humbled himself. And I think no other passage sums it up the best, like Philippians 2:5-8, where we read that our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's just amazing. You know, the Son of God didn't go around saying, hey, I'm God in the flesh. Zip! You know, and that was it. He didn't do that, not at all. You know, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, Luke 19:10, not to go around zapping them, you know. He is the servant's servant. He didn't ask to be served, John 13:1-17. He is the servant's servant. The Lord and Savior of all mankind could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world, right? But instead, he saved the world. He saved the world by humbly going to the cross in loving service to us all. Now that's humility. And we are to clothe ourselves with that same humility. And in humbleness, I'll have to say that's tough. Again, though, we are to have the collar of compassion, the cuff of kindness, the hem of humility, and we're also to clothe ourselves with gentleness, Colossians says. We're to clothe ourselves with gentleness. Now, what kind of clothing could we assign to gentleness? Gentleness. Gee, I don't know. Not many people that I know wear one, but it kind of fits with gentle, but maybe not. But let's call this the girdle of gentleness. And if you wear one, you don't have to share, okay? But really, the word girdle could also be translated as belt. I wear a belt. Acts 21:11, Paul is wearing a belt or a girdle, some other translations will say. But we'll call it a girdle now, just for the sake of alliteration, the girdle of gentleness, the girdle of gentleness. Now, the Greek word for gentleness here is also translated as meekness in the King James, and it's also the same word that Jesus uses in Matthew 5:5 when he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And over again, as Christians, we are encouraged to be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love, Ephesians 4:2, and to let our gentleness be evident to all, Philippians 4:5. Still, just what does it mean to be gentle? Well, maybe one way to think about what gentle is by thinking about what it's not. I mean, gentleness is the opposite of steep. You have a gentle slope, you see, or gentleness is the opposite of heavy. It's a light, gentle load. Or gentleness is the opposite of wild. It's calm, peaceful. Gentleness is the opposite of loud. It's quiet, you know. Gentleness is the opposite of intense. Again, it's of calmness. It's the opposite of unkind. It's kind, nice. Jesus was gentle. Remember Matthew 11:28-30, where he told us to come to him, all of us who are weary and heavy burdened, and he will give us rest. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And why? "For I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And let's remember again that we're talking about God in the flesh here. You know, Jesus could wipe out everything at a thought. But instead, Jesus is gentle with us. He teaches us and shows us the way in love, so that we too can be gentle with others and show them the way too in love and gentleness. And in that way, we are wearing our Jesus clothes, right? And so we have on again our girdle of gentleness. Again, in clothing ourselves with Christ, we have our collar of compassion, our cuffs of kindness, the hem of humility, the girdle of gentleness. And the last element that we see here listed for us in Colossians that we are to clothe ourselves with is patience. And for the sake of alliteration, we'll call this the pants of patience. Okay, the pants of patience. So why pants? I couldn't think of anything else. Well, pants, though, patience is one of those things that we either have or we don't have. You know, and if we don't have patience, then we'll most likely end up being embarrassed, especially if we lose our temper. And that's kind of sort of similar to pants. If you don't have your pants on, you're probably going to be embarrassed. So that's the connection, I guess. So where does patience come from? How do we get patience? Well, it seems to me that we get patience by being patient, you know, and that means that our patience will need to be exercised a bit if we expect to be more patient. So be careful if you ever pray for patience, okay? And we know that the Lord is patient with us. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us again that he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is patient. And we see unlimited patience described through Christ, shown in the forgiveness of sins, especially in reference to Paul in 1 Timothy 1:16, when Paul writes, "For that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." Think about that as a way to put on Christ. God has displayed his unlimited patience with me. And that's a way to share God's love, right? Because we have Christ's clothes on. And if God has been patient with us, well, we need to try to be more patient with others. God is very patient with us. And it's shown particularly by his forgiveness of our sins through Jesus on the cross. And like God, of course, we are to be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love. Again, that's Ephesians 4:2. Well, the Greek word for patient is also translated long-suffering. And I think any of us who tried to be patient with some people know it can be long-suffering. you know. This word long-suffering, though, comes with the idea that, you know, we're trying to deal with unpleasant circumstances, quite literally. And in James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, we are encouraged to be patient in those type of circumstances. James 5, 10 and 11 reads this way. It says, "Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." And when I think about the prophets and all that they went through, we've been looking at the minor prophets on Wednesday nights. If you look at what happened to the major prophets and what's said to happen to a lot of them, which is usually martyrdom, you know, being killed, it's just amazing. They were patient yet, though, in their suffering. And Job was patient in his suffering. He went through all that, but yet he didn't curse God, you know. He was patient. I'll have to admit, you know, that's hard to do. It's hard to do, especially if we're dealing with an illness. That's a tough thing to deal with. But other more common ways that our patience is often tried is when, you know, we're maybe at the gas station and the attendant there has absolutely no clue at all what's going on, you know. Why did I put in my Safeway Club card and it still didn't give me the 20-cent discount? So here I am paying 20 cents anyway. Or why did the bank teller not know anything about stuff and it's his first day on the job, you know? Or when the mechanic tells you that you need a new air filter for your car, but you put one in last week. All these things try our patience, you know? And I know that it can be tough to be patient with those around us. But again, remember that God is patient with us and forgives us in love. And when we do the same, we show that we are clothed with Christ. Okay, so we said that our Sunday clothes, our Christ clothes, are made up of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. But just how do all these things fit together? I mean, if we had a collar here and some pants over there and some hem over there and there and here and there, you know, are there any instructions about, you know, how to wear all this? Of course, right? You know, the Bible tells us in the next verse of Colossians 3 and Colossians 3:13 to bear with each other and forgive each other whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And we've been doing that, right? We've been looking at Jesus' example over and over again. And that's the pattern. Jesus is how we are to fit all of these things together in our lives. The obvious answer over and over again is Jesus. We must always look to the life of Jesus and his example of how to be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. Jesus is the pattern that our clothes must fit together into. Okay, one more thing since, you know, we're doing sort of home economics today. Do they still do home economics in school? So I don't know. Anyway, if we have our clothes, I remember having to take sewing or cooking. I opted for cooking. Anyway, you get to eat what you made. Sometimes it was good, sometimes it was bad. Anyway, but we're doing home ec today. So if we have our clothes made up of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, and we have the pattern of Christ to look to put things together, then what do we fit them all together with? Well, you know, looking again at Colossians 3, we see in verse 14 that love binds them all together in perfect unity. So you see, with the thread of love. You sew with the thread of love that ties compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience all together. Now we said earlier, I'm a sort of a Sunday morning suit and tie guy, you know, but Sunday nights I'm a little bit more casual, and on Wednesday I'm pretty much jeans and a shirt, you know. But no matter what physical clothing we wear, and I believe it's still important to put on our best for our King, the most important clothes to always be clothed with is Christ. His Christ-likeness, our spiritual clothes, should always be on. His compassion, his kindness, his humility, his gentleness, and his patience, all bound together with love. Of course, in order to be able to be clothed with Christ, we must first put on Christ. Like we first read from Galatians 3:26 and 27, we need to be baptized into Christ to believe in Jesus as Lord, and upon our belief to repent of our sins, confessing his name, and be baptized in the watery grave for the forgiveness of our sins. We're then clothed with Christ. As we continue to live and grow and mature in Christ and show Christ-like compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, we will have our Sunday clothes on all the time, and others will see Christ in us, or on us, as the case may be. So this morning, if there's anyone here who would like some assistance in putting Christ on for the very first time today, or maybe there's someone here who needs a little, I don't know, prayer adjustment to their garments, whatever the need may be, if there's anyone who's subject to the invitation of Christ this morning, you're encouraged to come forward now as we all stand and sing.